Hoosierincome.org.
And now for the ring.
You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa. In just a moment, we're going to talk about public transportation here in the Tampa Bay area. The Sustainable Living Program starts right now. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Sustainable Living Program. I'm Rob Lori. John Butts is here, and John picked out that song because we're going to talk about buses. Hey, John.
Hey, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You've been dodging the showers?
Dodging the showers. You know, I was out yesterday for most of the afternoon and did not get a drop of rain on me, even though I expected to be in a deluge. But no, it was great. Outside, it was hot.
We've been getting just terrible.
Did you get rain yesterday?
Oh, yeah, just horrible. And, you know, my neighbors, they cut hay. And my one really nice, close friend, neighbor, had cut some hay about a week ago, and it got wet. You know, you got to have about 3 or 4 days to get it done. And, of course, it was dry for a long time, and he made this decision to cut hay. And I noticed some other ones, and he was out there about 3 o'clock, you know, stirring it up. It was already ruined, but he had to get it off the field. You could see the field's already starting to turn green again. And then about 4 o'clock, boy, we got, it was about 3 inches of rain again. And I can't imagine him even getting out there with a tractor on the hayfield. It's really craziness. This is the Sustainable Living Show, and I always like to start by thanking our listener supporters. And I just wanted to mention a couple of things. Duncan last week had a Talking Animals program. He's on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, and it was on spiders. And I really enjoyed that show. But during the show, somebody called in and was, you know, talking about these spiders. And, you know, the question was about spiders in the house and roaches. And you know, like, of course, the guests, I think, were from up north or whatever. But anyhow, they're huntsman spiders, and these spiders actually do eat roaches. And we have some very friendly pet spiders, so we really enjoyed that program. And
you have pet spiders at your house?
Yeah. Right. We really kind of, you know, people come and they want to kill our spiders, and we go, oh, please, baby, let us move them. You know, like you got the guest bathroom, and the woman goes in there, and you hear the screaming. You go, oh my God, I forgot to tell her. But anyhow, I really appreciated that program, Duncan. And you know, spiders are beneficial insects, and I don't think we should kill them. I'm on the spiders team. Also, I just kind of want to mention this book that I, you know, it was in my box here at WMNF. And I really didn't want to pick it up and read it because I'm reading so many books, but I picked it up the other day, and I've been really interesting book on climate change, What Everybody Needs to Know by Joseph Romm, R-O-M-M. And the first part of the book is about climate basics, and, you know, he was talking about carbon in the atmosphere, CO2 in the atmosphere, and, you know, we're up around 400 parts per million. But he was saying, well, you know, for 800,000 years, we were never went over 280. So we're up to 400. Of course, they were, you know, science says that we're increasing the rate of carbon in the atmosphere by 14,000 times. You know, you go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. It's just like you're going through the school zone, and it's 15 miles an hour, and the cop pulls you over, and he says, hey, look, you know, you're going twice or 14,000. You were going the speed of light through the school zone. But it's not. It's just not natural. And then, of course, he talks about how much heat that we create every day is equal to, you know, so many watts. And he said, well, let me explain it to you this way. If you took the Hiroshima bomb and detonated it, and you did this times 400,000 of them every day, that's how much heat we're creating. And, you know, it's just like what we're doing is kind of insanity. But anyhow, I just thought I'd mention that. And then the third thing, of course, he has solutions. And then he's talking about, you know, substitutions for solutions. And he talks about mass transit and bus systems. And today we're going to talk about bus systems on the Sustainable Living Show. But, Rob, I got to ask you first, what's up at 11?
Well, there's a some people in the know, in political, local political circles, have a major prediction about the governor's race. And we're going to talk about that today at 11 o'clock.
Cool.
It's going to be a big, big surprise, I think, to many people.
And then Sean's coming up. And
yeah, Sean's going to talk about the immigration rally that took place on Saturday, the one in Tampa, and he'll mention the one in Gulfport. That's Sean's topic today.
Okay, and we have a whole bunch of programming all day long and all evening. Stick right with us. Really appreciate it. So today, like I said, we're going to kind of be talking about the Tampa Bay area and our transportation system. And I think about this all the time. What can we do? What can we do? The simplest thing we can do, I feel, is pull a little change and a few dollar bills and step on the bus, the magic bus, and go wherever. But anyhow, today on the Sustainable Living Show, our guests are Michael Case, and he's the interim director and principal planner, project manager for Tabarta, Tampa Bay Area Regional Transit Authority. Michael, great to have you.
Good morning.
Boy, you got a lot of titles there.
I do, yeah. Yeah. I'm that good, I suppose.
And also we have Spider-Man. No, I'm sorry. Bob Lasher, and he's with PSTA, and he is their external affairs officer.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Great to have you back, Bob.
It's great to be here, and I'm not Spider-Man, but I'm a little wigged out by the spider discussion.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to. I don't blame you.
And then also we have a representative from HART. Which is Hillsboro Area Regional Transit Authority. Well, the A isn't on there, but we have a new guy here, and I tell you what, I put his card down. It's changed three times, so I'm totally confused. But Christopher Cochran, great to have you here, and you're manager of planning there at HART.
I am. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you.
And
there.
Having HART.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go ahead and start with you, Christopher. What's kind of new there at HART?
Well, we have a few new routes that we have put on the street here as of yesterday morning. We have a great new inter-county route that is running from Wesley Chapel all the way to the airport through the University Area Transit Center near USF and the Veterans Hospital, and provides express service to downtown as well as the airport, and opening up some excellent new service. That's really exciting for the people of New Tampa that they haven't had before. We have also launched a new route in the Temple Terrace area that is connecting the University Area Transit Center to Net Park. And all of this really continuing to engage in the mission of our in the goals and objectives of our Mission Max project that we launched last October, and continuing to provide new and better service to our community and to our riders, and just trying to make transit better in the Tampa Bay area. Mm-hmm. We continue to look at the needs and the wants of the people in the community, and looking for new ways to provide better service for everybody. So continue to look for new services and opportunities down the road.
And do you have a new route to Pasco?
We do. So let me give you a little bit of detail on that. That is the 275 Limited Express, and where that runs is from the Wesley Chapel Park and Ride, which is between the Florida Hospital Bristol and Wiregrass Mall.
Okay, cool.
And that will run down Brewsby Downs. We have some great transit stops that were we partnered with FDOT on being able to get some great infrastructure along the Brewsby Downs area to provide some great safe and comfortable bus stops for people on Brewsby Downs corridor. And that will connect to the University Area Transit Center. And from there, it's really express service down Fowler Avenue directly to Marion Transit Center. And from there, it goes straight to the airport. And that service is the 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And the exciting thing about that is it's really the first inter-county regional express like this that we've been able to launch. So it's something new and it's exciting, and we're really excited to see the how it works. We've heard some great feedback and support from the community. The people in New Tampa are really excited to have new service. And again, that Route 48 in the Temple Terrace area, I think, is a great success story for us. And initially, that service had some tough decisions are made in public transit. And during Mission Max, it was originally the Route 57 in that area went away. And we were diligent in listening to the feedback of the customers and the community, and people wanted that route back. We went out and we listened, we talked with the people, what would work better. And so we brought that Route 48 back in the Temple Terrace area and really listened to the customers. We sort of tweaked it a little bit to make it even better than it was before, and it will continue to provide connectivity to those critical centers in the Temple Terrace area between USF and Net Park.
Okay, thank you, Christopher. Yep. Well, Bob, what's new over there across the bay?
Well, I'm going to piggyback on the airport theme. 2 weeks ago today, we launched our first airport service from Pinellas County to Tampa International Airport. It's the new 300X Airport Express. Runs from a park and ride, basically Starkey and Olmerton Road, over to the airport and then to downtown Tampa. For details, if you want schedules. And as for anything we might talk about on the show today, you can go to psta.net. And for heart, it's gohart.org. You can pull up their schedules as well. At the same time, we extended our other Cross Bay route, the one that goes over the Gandy Bridge, that's the 100X. We extended that to all the way downtown St. Pete and the Pier. So that is moving longer. So we have really boosted the connections back and forth between Pinellas County, St. Petersburg, and downtown Tampa. And included in the airport, because a lot of people, when they think about this, if they look at the schedule and say, well, it's not running when I fly, we do have a partnership now with Uber where you can get $10 off an Uber ride from the airport, their new transit center that they built, back to the park and rides. You get $10 off if we're not running, so you can take PSTA one way if you need, if that fits your schedule, and then take an Uber ride back to your car.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to get to Michael, but I was thinking about the show. I was going to ask about Uber, what effect it has, and it sounds like you're trying to work with Uber on.
Oh, yeah. We have some great partnerships we've worked out with Uber. I'll give Chris credit because he worked at PSTA for years setting the foundation for those. And that's part of our program we call Direct Connect, where there are 24 stops around the county that people can get $5 off an Uber ride to or from that stop, as well as $5 off United Taxi, or for people who are in mobility aids, $25 off a wheelchair transport. Mm-hmm. That helps people get to and from the bus system.
Cool. Okay, Michael, what's new over there at Tabarta?
Well, there's a lot new, and there's some things that are the same. as you said, we are now the Tampa Bay Area Regional Transit Authority, which previously we were the Tampa Bay Area Regional Transportation Authority. But before I talk about what's new, we, as you know, operate a very successful commuter services program, which includes a region-wide vanpool program that has over 120 vehicles in service, big impacts to cost savings for commuters, as well as CO2 savings annually. We provide the region's emergency ride home program, which if you take transit, vanpool, walk, or bicycle to and from work more than two times per week, you are eligible for 4, numeral 4, low-cost or free taxi rides home in the event of a qualified emergency. We also operate the region's regional school commute program, which works to match parents together along similar routes to the same school to help cut congestion down around schools. So what's new? We are an agency in transition currently. As I mentioned, the second T in T-BARTA was changed from transportation to transit last year. We refocused the number of counties that we serve from 7 down to 5. So we cut out, not we, but the legislature, Citrus and Sarasota County last year, leaving Hernando, Pasco, Pinellas, Hillsborough, and Manatee. We also updated the agency's mission to focus specifically on providing a region-wide transit system for Tampa Bay, which now includes, in lieu of a regional transportation master plan that encompassed freight, transit, trails, and this wide umbrella down to focusing specifically on transit and providing as many modes as possible for people to get from A to B. So currently we're working right now on the region's first regional transit development plan, which will serve as a strategic guide for improving regional transit services over a 10-year horizon. So lots going on at T-BARTA.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a tremendous, you know, they were talking about putting in the new bridge across the Howard Franklin, and all that money, you know, like millions and millions and millions of dollars. And you got to wonder, well, if we put that into bus service, would we actually need that, you know, that bridge? Rob, what do you think?
Do we need the bridge, or
the bridge or better transportation?
I'll just tell a quick story. Two Mondays ago, I was driving back from a meeting I had in St. Pete back to Tampa at 7 o'clock at night. 7 o'clock at night, heading on the Howard Franklin Bridge, and there was a traffic jam going into Tampa. Now, there was no hockey game because hockey was over. There was no concert going on the east side of Tampa. There was just nothing going on, and there was no accident. But I was stuck in traffic coming back from a late meeting in St. Pete at 7 o'clock at night, and I thought, this is ridiculous. Mm. You know, from here, we're in central Tampa, on the east side of Martin Luther King. From here, driving to Temple Terrace at 5 in the afternoon is a half-hour ride. It should take 10 or 15 minutes to get to Temple Terrace, but traffic is so bad whether you go up Florida or Nebraska, whether you go up I-275, or whether you go up I-75 from the center part of Tampa to Temple Terrace. It's, you know, if you've got friends up there or family or a meeting, or if you're going to USF for a speech, or maybe you've got a class at USF at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, the traffic is just amazingly complicated here. It's much worse. You know, we have a transmitter that's out south of Brandon. We used to be able to drive from Hyde Park, our first building in Hyde Park, out to Brandon in 20 minutes.
Wow.
To turn our transmitter off and on. Now that trip would take 45 minutes easily to go from Hyde Park to Brandon. But the problem is true in Pinellas County. It's true in Sarasota. I mean, there's roads in Sarasota, especially during baseball season, Manatee County, Bradenton, Sarasota, that are just clogged with traffic. And you wait you go through the traffic light cycle 3 or 4 times before you actually get through. It's you know, and then if you're out on Longboat Key or Anna Maria and you're driving north or south on Longboat Key during the high season, you might be stuck in traffic for more than an hour and a half just trying to get off Longboat Key. I mean, these are some of the problems that I see, and this is none of your fault because you're trying to solve this problem because you're in a transportation. But Michael, I got to ask you, we hear this word transit all the time. And I think some people use it as a code word for rail, but then you didn't use it that way. When you talked about transit just a moment ago, you're talking about all the elements of transportation. What does transit mean? I hear this all the time, but I don't really understand what it means when I hear it.
Well, transit specifically is an option for me, other than driving alone, or at least it should be for the majority of Tampa Bay citizens. It really comes down to providing a sustainable source of transportation in getting from wherever it is that you need to go, whether it's from work to a doctor's appointment, to a major regional attraction that is in another county 20, 25 miles away. So, you know, I think a part of our problem with transit, and I appreciate your acknowledgement that, you know, we didn't create the issue. We're the ones that are trying to solve it. But, and this, I guess this is where I stand on my pedestal a little bit. But, you know, we have decades of development patterns that have not had transit in mind. In Florida and Tampa Bay, especially, we have a very spread out, I hate to use this word in a public setting, but a polycentric development pattern where we've got a lot of different major developments that are spread out over distance. So, you know, when we plan within county jurisdictions, and, you know, there are, you know, to HART and PSTA's credit, new services that have been put in place, thank God, that can get you to the airport specifically. And, you know, Bob will tell you at one time when he first came here that there was no route that went from TIA to anywhere. It was, you had to drive there. So, you know, a part of this is certainly, you know, reexamining how we look at, I think, development, and as well as, you know, making sure that, you know, we're listening to the community and providing transit services where they're needed. It's certainly not going to be easy. It hasn't been easy thus far. But we need to start somewhere. And I think, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about this a little bit later, but the regional transit feasibility plan that outlines the Catalyst project for the region, which is a 41-mile segment that goes from St. Pete all the way to Wesley Chapel, and develops that spine that's needed to get across all these major activity centers. And eventually we start to build that in with local services, or what I would call the ribs.
So when you say, you didn't mention what the mode was. What would be the mode?
Well, the Regional Catalyst Project is a rubber tire project.
Okay, right. But
exactly what it is, we hesitate to call it a bus because, I mean, we see it more as a mobility option. You know, I hate to box it in and just call it a bus because, you know, if you look at it, it looks like a hybrid, possibly, you know, some of the concepts we've looked at so far between, you know, a rail, you know, possibly a two-car rail system and a bus. So, I mean, you know, but transit is essentially something that you get from A to B without using your personal vehicle.
Let me ask you this, all three of you. Who sets the policy? You guys aren't policy people. Who sets the policy? Is it the local county commission or is the legislature? Who is more powerful in setting policy about whether or not our options include rail?
Well, I think it works in a couple of different ways. Certainly, county commissioners have some say over how funding is allocated into transit and have the ability to fund something, certainly if it's needed at the local level. Above that, the state can certainly also have an influence on other available, I'll call them pots of funding that could be used for possibly a pilot project to see if it works or improving a local service. But who has more power, essentially? I don't know.
It's very multi-leveled. Our board is made up of 13 elected officials from around the county, a lot of county commissioners. They set the local policy, but we are also beholden to the state legislature on what they will allow as far as what they want to fund. And then beyond them goes all the way up to Washington, D.C., where they want to put their money. And recently, the current administration has been trying to pull back on some of the rail transit options. Mm-hmm. And you also get it in the state, too. Remember, we had been given an opportunity for high-speed rail between Orlando and Tampa, and that was killed at the state level. So there's a lot involved. We all dovetail together.
Yep.
Well, we're talking about transportation. This is the Sustainable Living Program on WMNF in Tampa. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Bob Lasher is here from the Pinellas Transit Authority. And also here is Michael Case from Tabarta. It's not Tabarta, it's Tabarta, right?
I say T-Barta, but
it is T-Barta?
Potato,
okay.
Potato.
Okay, all right. From the Tampa Bay Area Regional Transit Authority. And Christopher Cochran?
Cochran, yep.
All right, who is new at HART, Hillsborough Area Regional Transit. And David writes this, John. David writes, I was wondering, why hasn't HART, the Metro Rapid East-West line, been completed yet?
Well, the Metro Rapid East-West line is a... We had initially launched a Metro Rapid line northwest that connected downtown to the USF area that provided a sort of hybrid of express and BRT, bus rapid transit. That was the goal of the project. What came out of that as well was a suggestion to look at and study further an east-west line that essentially ran Hillsborough and MLK east-west directions of the county. We still had that. Every year we do a transit development plan where we put in priority projects that look out, as Michael Case said, they're developing this 10-year horizon, which all transit agencies are required to do. Every 5 years, you update it. So it's still in our 10-year vision. So it is, again, a big part of it is available funding as it comes down every year. As it moves up the pipeline, we make priorities. So it's absolutely in our list of our 10-year horizon. So it has not fallen off of our radar as something that's viable. Speaking to that, though, we have had some recent funding from DOT in which they awarded us $2.5 million to do a study on the Florida-Nebraska corridor to further the metro, the north-south metro rapid transit system that is in process now to really make it even more bus rapid transit like. So we're very excited about that. That was put out on the street. We're expected to hear back this week from those who are proposing to bid on those contracts, and we're really excited about that study. It's going to give us some. It opens up the door to providing creative options as to how we can improve that corridor, and essentially. What that will allow us to do is ultimately we're looking for an opportunity to provide federal funding to make a real BRT project in the north-south corridors. And once that is in place, that really opens the door to start looking at east-west corridors, other places in the county where we can do more bus rapid transit and metro rapid type concepts. It's difficult if you spread all of those projects too thin without concentrating on one that you feel will really work, that you have a good opportunity at receiving federal funding for the capital side of it. And you need to prove that one will work before you can just start moving on to all these other.
How do you decide projects? Whether or not a route's going to work? I mean, do you ask the public, or do you do a market survey, or do you look at population growth? How do you do it?
It's all of those. The manager of planning and in our department service development and operations, we do our decisions, our recommendations that we make to the chiefs and to the board are data driven. We use census and market data to analyze where people are coming, where people are going. We identify what we call trip generators, so malls, employment centers, USF and downtown Tampa certainly are exactly those. And they continue to be the driving force for where people want to get to and from those particular employment centers in Hillsborough County. So We look to identify those potential areas where people are likely to go to and from, and then we go out and we survey our riders and we find out where they're moving, you know, where they are going to, and that helps us guide our decision-making processes to make recommendations to our board to fund these opportunities.
Let's take a question from Paul in Clearwater. Paul, do you have a question for our guests who are experts on the transportation system? Hey, Paul, you're on WMNF. What's your question?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I just have a quick comment. I've been in Florida off and on since the 60s. And Florida is run by the rich for the rich. And I give these gentlemen a lot of credit. Mass transit, public education, solar power, all the things that the rich don't care about in Florida, they all go begging. And then my last comment is urban planning and the word Florida do not go together. Thank you.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot. On the second part, you guys, what do you think? I mean, are urban planning and Florida haven't gone together in the past, or do you think that there are some models, some places where it is being thoughtfully planned?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think you're right. In the past, we haven't seen a lot of it. But what you mentioned earlier, when you're talking about how long it's taking to get from place to place in the Tampa Bay area, we're seeing a shift. Finally, we're really seeing a shift. We've got some major developers. Look what Jeff Vinnick is doing. He wants his whole new project to be transit-oriented. We're seeing some of that now more and more in Pinellas. It's good to see. There's not enough of it, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, but I think it's great to see.
I was talking to one of those developers in downtown Tampa a few weeks ago. He said that millennials want to live next to their workplace. That's where they want to live. They want a small commute. They really don't want to have a car. If they could, they want to give it up. And if they had a train to ride or a nice bus to ride, they would ride it. But their preference is to live close to work. That's what young people are seeking in a modern city.
If I can comment on that, that's a great another brand new thing that HART is doing and answering that, and all of the incredible and exciting investment that's going into downtown. HART has received a grant from DOT to run the TECO Street Line for free, and people will now be able to ride free 7 days a week. We've expanded hours to start at 7 a.m. in the morning to provide a commuter option for people and to hopefully provide opportunities for people to use it to get to Ybor for lunch and back to business. And it will increase the frequency to every 15 minutes. So as we, you know, I think that speaks to what you're saying. If land use is improved, the transit agencies are ready to react and answer to taking full advantage of those land use opportunities that are created. And we look to our leaders to continue to improve that in all our areas.
It's more than millennials, too. The American Public Transportation Association cites numerous studies that show the baby boomers, as they are getting older, they're getting the empty nesters, they're starting to downsize, they're wanting the same thing. They're wanting to not have to rely on the car to go everywhere. They want more livable, walkable communities.
David's second part of his email says, why don't we have more Cross Bay Express buses between Tampa and St. Pete and Clearwater? And why do some of the Cross Bay Express buses, why don't we have them for big sporting events like the Rays, the Bucks, the Lightning Games? I also feel that HART and the local news media need to do a better job of pushing transit options for big events like the 4th of July. Yeah, we're likely to have a traffic jam at 4th of July fireworks events this week. But what about, are there ways that you can use the bus to get to Rays games or get to Lightning games or get to the Bucks games?
Actually, those are they come under federal charter rule regulations. We can use them only if they're along a regular route. We cannot just suddenly say, okay, we're going to run a bus from the Rays game to downtown Tampa when we don't normally run it. That's actually against federal regulations.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Cross Bay routes for us were specially funded through the state, so we only had a limited amount of funding, and that really is the key to getting more of it. If we can increase our funding all across the region, we can put in a whole lot more regional service.
Let me ask you about the ferry. Is the ferry coming back?
I believe both cities have provided have announced their support of it coming back.
I think we've got most of the partners on board for funding who were doing it last time. I'm not sure if all of them are there, but most of them. It looks like it, to me, it looks like it.
And what about bringing, you know, taking a ferry from the south shores of Hillsborough County over to MacDill? Is that still being talked about? Is that a possibility?
It's absolutely, in Hillsborough, it's absolutely something people are continuing to want and talk about. I don't, speaking from...
This is really outside of your bailiwick here.
It is. Okay. That, the, right, those are more private, those would be privately run opportunities, but it would be exciting, yes.
Adam writes this, John, you see this email, he says there's a lot of talk about options for the road. What transportation options are they considering that are not just adding more cars or buses? We really need light rail, writes Adam. He says, I heard that there was talk about buying the CSX tracks. Is that still an option?
Well, there's been talk about it for a long time. You know, part of the regional transit feasibility plan did look at the CSX line, but a 9-mile segment of it. And it turns out that it's, surprise, very cost prohibitive. So, you know, you have to purchase the right-of-way. There's opportunities to lease the track. And then there's the technology that you're going to use. There's several different kinds of train technologies. I think that it's certainly something that we need to look at for the future. And a part, you know, it came up, you know, a couple minutes ago with the Howard Franklin Bridge, you know. Certainly our infrastructure that we have is important, and specifically with the bridge, I think we have an excellent opportunity to build it so that it is accommodating to transit service. Now, whether that's a dedicated lane for a true bus rapid transit system, or if it's preserving a part of the bridge for an envelope that would accommodate rail. Either way, it's my understanding that the rebuild of that bridge will include strong enough support. The structure will be strong enough to be able to accommodate rail. Now, eventually, you would want to connect that, of course, to the CSX line, you know, bring that around over to Tampa International Airport, and then... who knows where it could go beyond there. But I certainly think that, I mean, not just bus, but rail, we need all the options that we can get here in Florida.
The three of you are not policymakers, but for the public out there who's listening, who have ideas about bus routes, or have ideas about bus stops, or have ideas about future transportation modes, what do you suggest the public does if they're really concerned, if they're out there stuck in traffic right now and they're, you know, they're going across Hillsborough Avenue and there's a traffic jam in midday in Tampa? What do you suggest the public does? What's the best thing that they could do who should they contact, you think?
And
you're not here lobbying, I understand.
Absolutely. And PS, if you don't mind me saying for PSTA, HART and PSTA are made up of our elected officials. We have HART has a few appointees, but we are essentially, our boards are elected officials. We always encourage our customers to not only reach out to the agency directly, because there is a lot that we do. We both employ what's called C-Click Fix, which provides an opportunity for concerns. You can go on C-Click Fix online and provide feedback and submit concerns that goes directly to the agency.
Is that via the HART main website?
If you go to the websites, I believe for HART, I believe there is a link for C-Click Fix on there. But it is if you can find it on the Google Play Store, and it will just find you being in Hillsborough County. It gives you options to report things, and we get concerns from and opinions from customers that way. But we always encourage you to reach out to your elected officials, because ultimately they are the decision makers, and they certainly bring their concerns back to our leadership. Our CEO Jeff Seward or any of our chiefs will hear concerns from the public, and certainly, you know, we if we don't know what people want, we don't always The Route 48 is a perfect example. With that, very well may never have, having taken away the 57, without all of the customer concern and feedback, we may very well never have put back the Route 48 for people. So that's a perfect example of going, and they made, people went out and spoke and made their opinions heard at Temple Terrace, at the city meetings there. That's a perfect example why you go talk to your elected
officials. That's Chris Cochran of HART and Bob Lasher of the Pinellas Transit Authority.
Yeah, absolutely. It's number one to contact your elected officials, because they're the ones who are going to get the funding for us to improve the system. And I'm talking local, state, and even up in Congress. In the state, they made it pretty clear the last run of the legislature that any transit funding, they really didn't want going to rail. And you can see, we saw it in the news coverage. So if these elected officials are going to take money and put more towards transit, they need to know that the public supports them, because there are politics involved. And like Rob said earlier, if you're in your car and you're frustrated, wait a while. Don't contact them immediately.
Okay. Michael Case of T-Barta.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with all the things that Chris and Bob said. Certainly, the buck stops with our elected officials, and it has to be communicated to them where the issues are. But at the same time, there are things I think that the public can do interim to us, working to improve services and create new services where we're needed. And a part of this is some of the culture that we have here in Florida, and the idea that, you get in your personal car and you get wherever you want to go. But it's certainly a hard change to make. It's a lifestyle change. But, it can make a big difference if, we start to carpool once or twice a week. If you coordinate with some of your fellow employees at your workplace and try to form a van pool, you can share the cost of a brand new vehicle that's comfortable and not put wear and tear on your personal vehicle. And in the process, save a whole lot of money and take cars off of the road. So, there are immediate solutions and there are long-term solutions. And, somewhere along the line, we need to meet in the middle and start working together and creating a bigger culture of transit.
Yeah, we were talking before the show about van pools and the amount of energy for transportation per person, and van pools are one of the best options because of the size of the van. And you were saying that you're full going and coming back, where buses a lot of times are empty at certain times. But I think that's an excellent way. And like you say, it's kind of a no-brainer if you're all working at the same place in the general area, that a van pool makes a lot of sense.
Sure. It's really easy to start a van pool. You visit the T-Bart website. We have really upfront, interactive way to find other people around you that are traveling to the same workplace that maybe you've never had the opportunity to speak to before, but you can find them on there. You can set up communications. You can say, hey, I'm interested in forming a van pool, and we'll get you set up within a week. But you're absolutely right. Not only is a regional van pool the most efficient form of transit, but it makes sense in terms of being that it's really the only form of regional transit that we have currently that spans across multiple counties. In the past, we've had vans that have come as far away as Orlando that come to Hillsborough County for work. We've got a whole lot of Pasco County residents. We've got even some that come from Spring Hill as well. So, in terms of national rankings, you're almost at the bottom among metropolitan areas for transit supply. You know that you have an issue and that you have to find some other alternative, I think, interim to, T-Barta, HART, PSTA, and Pasco County Public Transit being able to find the funding to implement the services that are needed. But we're working on it.
Yeah, you know, one thing we haven't talked to Bob much about is the electric buses over in Pinellas. Because really, there you go. That's a game changer. The battery technology, could you maybe talk about those a little bit?
Yeah, actually, the battery technology is right now going in leaps and bounds. And this past year, our board voted to buy our first two all-electric buses. Just talked with our director of maintenance, and he is going out to California in 3 days to do the pre-ship inspection of these buses, and we'll have them in later in the summer and hope to deploy them in early fall in downtown St. Petersburg on a brand new circulator route that will be part of what is now known as the Downtown Looper. And then we've just applied for a federal grant to get two more of those buses and some charging stations as well, because you also have to have the on-road charging stations so that they can keep going all day long. It is very exciting. We are really looking forward to it and seeing what we can do with this and doing something that really is sustainable and cuts emissions.
Well, you know, in the hybrid buses too, I think that's one of the things that's really, you know, like the Prius has really opened up a, you know, like this, you know, it really got us started where, you know, people don't have to worry about the range or just like a bus. You still have that diesel engine or whatever to take you in, but it increases, you know, like in the Prius, almost 3 times the fuel efficiency.
Yeah, we have about a third of our fleet now are diesel electric hybrids, and they're averaging 50% improvement in fuel economy over the standard diesel buses.
So lots of emails have come in. Adrian writes this one. The biggest thing is the style of dead-end streets that we have around here. Adrian says, no one ever seems to look at that South Tampa is dense, yet there's barely any traffic, writes Adrian. And Adrian says, my area in Wesley Chapel is 100% gated community, and to get to the neighbor's house, you have to leave the neighborhood, get on Brisby Downs, and then come back into a separate neighborhood, writes Adrian. So doesn't like the layout that we have in some neighborhoods. Adrian, thanks for that. I was just in South Tampa at 8 a.m. this morning, and because there's no school in South Tampa, the roads were completely empty. I mean, you know, I could zip to my, I had to go to the bank, and there was, like, nobody in South Tampa this morning. It is different during school time. Kevin writes this, many years ago I suggested that the bones of good local transit system would be to connect the downtowns, airports, universities, and some select tourist destinations. I am encouraged that some bus routes are finally following some of those core routes. Make no mistake, though, the transit system will be far better if it doesn't share the route with bad drivers, writes Kevin. Do you think that automated vehicles are going to solve all of our problems? Because there are some people out there who think that once we have automated vehicles, all of our transportation problems are going to be solved.
Yeah, well, I think they'll certainly solve some of the problems, but nowhere near all of them. The main thing that comes to mind, and I think Chris and Bob probably want to pitch in on this as well, is that the biggest thing I think autonomous vehicles will solve, well, the two biggest things, first and foremost, is safety. You know, one of the biggest things with driving your personal vehicle is that, for lack of a better way to say it, it's a 4,000-pound or more killing machine. You know, if we take the human element out of it, that, for the most part, takes the element of error out of it as well. The second thing is equity. And I think that there is a vast opportunity with autonomous vehicles and at the touch of a button being able to summon something that comes and picks you up and that doesn't involve, again, a human driver in it. That will speak volumes and provide all kinds of opportunities for people that really need it. And I'm talking people that we refer to as transportation disadvantaged, that have mobility issues, that they can't see, that, you know, it's difficult for them, you know, let alone to find a ride somewhere, but to take the bus, it just doesn't work very well for them.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing, well, across the country, we're already seeing an impact in the major metropolitan areas, New York, San Francisco, the first two to come to mind, of people switching from their normal mass transit onto the ride-hailing agencies. Mm-hmm. And I know in San Francisco, the last statistic I saw is that they had a 5% increase in traffic. The bus system was having a tremendous time keeping their buses on route because of the increased congestion. So I always see a need for the mass transit, the mass hauling, and then using these autonomous vehicles, ride sharing, for the first and last mile parts of the trip. But if you put everybody into the cars, that is really going to bottle up a lot of our metropolitan areas.
Because now teenagers and senior citizens and people who have visual impairities, they're all going to be
taking a ride.
Right.
Mm-hmm. From Hart's perspective, we are very fortunate to be one of the very few and first agencies in the nation that will be launching a automated vehicle shuttle pilot in downtown Tampa on the Marion Transitway that'll run from Marion Transit Center to somewhere about Kennedy Boulevard. Look for that to be coming out in the coming months. We're very excited about it, and it feeds into the whole connected vehicle technology pilot that is going on in downtown with THEA and the city of Tampa. So I think we're fortunate here in the Tampa Bay region to really be on the forefront of this exciting technology and being a part of shaping the future of what automated vehicle technology might look like. I think realistically, for there to be automated, 40-foot buses coming down the lane, it's a little bit further off than people really think. There's a lot of things to take into consideration with that. We have a lot of incredible drivers and employees that are concerned about that as a replacement of people who will be driving the vehicles and those things. So, there's a lot to be worked out with that for transit agencies across the country, and that'll be a challenge. But regardless, it is an exciting technology, and it's coming. There's no way to avoid it. We just have to prepare ourselves to work properly with it.
Yeah, we're supposed to be having an autonomous vehicle project coming up in the next few months as well, just down in downtown St. Pete along the waterfront.
Well, that'll be exciting. All right, John, we've got 5 minutes left. We got a bunch of emails that we haven't read, but I wondered, gentlemen, you only have a limited amount of time. Is there any other idea or concept or project that you're working on in your area that you want to tell our listeners about? And Michael, can I start with you?
Yeah, sure.
Michael, one thing with T. Barta.
I'd like to mention, and again, thank you very much for having us, is that on July 20th at the Tampa International Airport Marriott Hotel, we will be kicking off the public input process for the regional transit feasibility plan. This is a very important step in us bringing about a regional transit system for Tampa Bay. Again, we're creating the spine here with this project, and eventually we will work with the local transit agencies and bring in the ribs, the local connections as well. Senator Bill Galvano is going to be our keynote speaker. We're really going to jump right into the process, not wasting any time. We've got several county representatives that will discuss their vision for regional transit as well. We plan on highlighting a lot of the great local projects and showing how they intersect and eventually will integrate with the Regional Catalyst Project as well. So again, that's July 20th. It starts at 1 p.m. at the Tampa the International Airport. Sorry, too many acronyms. Tampa International Airport Marriott Hotel.
All right, good. Will parking be provided for free for people that attend?
There will be parking, yes. Okay, yes. Right. And you can visit tbregionaltransit.com for more information about both the Regional Catalyst Project as well as the Tampa Bay Regional Transit Forum.
And can people get there by bus?
Yes, you'll have to ask Chris and Bob about that.
Yeah. Good. Chris and Bob, all right. Yes. All right. So Bob Lasher from PSTA.
Our big project, we've got a lot of them, but I think the one we haven't talked about is our bus rapid transit project along the Central Avenue corridor connecting the Gulf Beaches and St. Petersburg. It's the first project in the region to actually be approved for Federal Transit Administration funding. We hope to have that up and running within the next few years, running about every 15 minutes in rush hour and then later in the evening for off hours every 30 minutes from 6 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week.
Well, that's exciting. And Chris Cochran of Hart?
At Go Hart is our Twitter. We have Facebook. We encourage y'all to follow us on our social media. We engage with our customers very well there. Any problems, always feel free to contact our customer service. As far as transportation to the airport, with the 275LX, Hart now has 5 routes going to the airport. If you can get to Marion Transit Center, the Route 60LX will be a direct line to the airport every hour, and there are a few other routes to get there to the airport as well, the 275 as well. So the 275 and the 60 will get you to the airport every alternating on the hours, so you have half-hour express to the airport now. Thank you very much for having us. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. This is, I think, the number one local issue. I mean, there are a lot of local issues, low wages, water, but transportation is really up there, and we've got to fix it somehow.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, what I kind of thought, and we didn't talk about it, and we don't have much time, was where's my bus PSTA, where you know exactly where you but you're sitting at the bus stop going, where in the hell's my bus? But you can go right to your phone and find out where your bus is.
Right to the transit app or to our real time, yes.
All right. Well, Bob and Michael and Christopher, thanks a lot for coming by WMNF. And
thank
John,
you.
We'll see you in two
thank
weeks.
You both.
Yeah, I'll probably be here.
Well, wait a minute. Are you not going to be here?
Tanya's going to kind of run in that show, and we're going to. But she'll be with us. Tanya will be back in 2 weeks, and I'll be here too.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Sustainable Living Program. Our guests will be in the lobby right after the show. If you want to call them directly, you can call 813-238-8001. This is WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned for the news.